For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. This is one of many times that God promised the Israelites the promised land. It was only the promised land because God promised it. A land, what God say, flowing with milk and honey. The best of the best, the creme de la creme. This is the promised land, the land of blessing, where God says, dude, the stones are going to be copper. Even rocks are going to be valuable, you know? Trees. In other verses, he says, houses you didn't even build, vineyards you didn't even plant. And God says, bread, you'll eat bread without scarcity. You will lack nothing. That is what God desires for every person. That's why David could say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Because when we follow the Lord, walking in his ways, in his wisdom, trusting and depending on his favor, his power, not in our own self, not in the system of this world, he promises blessing to make us the head and not the tail, to be above only and not beneath, to cause us to be a people that are come out of lack, out of debt, out of that bondage, and into abundance. And of course, this applies to every area of our life, but we've been focusing specifically on finances. We're not in any way promoting greed, the love of money. In fact, the opposite, we've preached against those things, haven't we? We've talked about how if we're going to see the blessing of God, we've got to deal with those yokes, those strongholds of greed and the love of money and the deceitfulness of wealth and selfishness and even laziness and stuff. We've had to deal with those things in our hearts so that we could get our hearts in the right place for the blessing to come. Because God is not a God who will bless us to hell and pour out blessing and ruin us. No, God wants us to be his people, walking in his ways, and then he wants to bless us with his blessing. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. That's what we want. And so, last week I went over four principles, biblical, practical, powerful principles. Mostly they come out of the Proverbs, although the wisdom of God is all over the Bible. But they come out of the Proverbs, and I only covered four. And I'm going to try to go over like eight more today, but I don't think we're going to do that. So we'll be led by the Lord here today and just try to do what we can do. But four principles, you remember I talked about honoring the Lord with the tithe. Speak to the mountain and to the supply. Remember we've talked about how our words are more important than we realize, and we need to speak to those areas that would be, speak to that debt and say, Lord, I thank you, it's going down. Amen. And also, but we need to bless, speak blessing and thankfulness to what we do have. Remember like Jesus blessed the bread and the fish and he multiplied it? Speak blessing. Number three, we talked about pursuing our calling. Not chasing the money, but making sure we're seeking first the kingdom and pursuing our calling and our purpose in life and making sure those things are in order. And then number four, last week we talked about being led by the Lord, being led by the Spirit of God and making sure that we ask God for his wisdom and his advice, acknowledging him and consulting him on what he wants us to do. Today, I'm going to dive right into these principles and see how far we can get. You know, I used to tell the youth, when I was a youth pastor, I used to tell them, a proverb a day keeps stupid away. You like that? I used to tell the I did that probably for a decade of my life. I read a chapter in Proverbs a day, every day for probably a decade. I still read the Proverbs a lot, but not as regimented as that. Proverb a day keeps stupid away. And so I want to show you a number of proverbs here, and we're going to look at a number of proverbs. But if you want to try to follow along a little bit with me, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to look at some proverbs there. But let's see what we can do here. You know, I think sometimes when we talk about faith and trusting the Lord, I sometimes think people have this picture like lazy boy Christianity. You know. You know what lazy boy Christianity is? Like, I'm up on my lazy boy with the, you know, the feet up, and the Lord just going to do it for me, right? That's like the metaphor. That's like the picture some people think because we're living in this modern society that, you know, faith, they think microwave Christianity, you know? They think, well, if it's God's will, he'll just do it. And he'll do it fast. And it won't be hard. And there won't be any work. Microwave Christianity. Well, I don't know about you. I never seen those metaphors in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? When Jesus was teaching about faith, when Jesus taught us to walk with the Lord, what kind of metaphors, what kind of pictures did he use? You know, he seemed to have used a lot of metaphors from farming, didn't he?
Yes.
Planting seed, watering seed, getting seeds to grow. See, Jesus did not use pictures. He wasn't like, trust the Lord and just sit on your lazy boy, you know? When Jesus talked about trusting God, he talked about the power of a seed that goes into soil and grows. Why? Because the Bible says you will reap whatever you sow. And sometimes we have a hard time with that. I say, well, I'm supposed to trust the Lord. Amen. And you sow to the things of the Lord. You sow to the kingdom. You do what God said to do, and you trust him that his supernatural power will back you and make it happen. Yes? Just like you put the seed in the ground and you water the seed, but you don't make it grow, do you? Jesus said, it just grows all by itself. But our part is to make sure we plant that seed and have good hearts and good soil and such. And so it's the same thing with the Proverbs. It's the same thing with the Proverbs, is that the picture that we've got to realize is that we're partnering with the Lord in faith, and we're doing these things to position our hearts so that the Lord's blessing will come upon us. And so number five, remember I went over four last week. Number five is work unto the Lord. Work unto the Lord. It says this in Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. It says this in verse 3. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor both with God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. See, right here, the Bible, God, is telling us, do you want favor? That's going to open doors for you. And he tells us the greatest favor, the only one, or not the only one, the number one that you need on your side is God. I want the favor of God in my life. And he says, do you want the favor of God in your life? But notice he doesn't just say the favor of God. He says we need favor with people. Not flattery, not kiss up, not, you know, brown nosing. You know, people used to use that word. Not flattery, but favor. How do you see the hearts of people, the hearts of employers or bosses, or if you're in sales and business, how do you see that favor open up and blessing flow, obviously first from God, but also with people? It says right here, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Love and faithfulness. See, we've got to be a people that are faithful, consistent, stick with it. See, it's really not that difficult. You show up to work and you show up on time, in fact, a little bit early, and you stay a little bit late, and you work hard, 100%, even 110% of who you are into that job. And you honor the people around you. That's kindness, kindness. Being, if you have other employees around you, you're kind to them. You're a pleasant person to work with. They like you. You're kind and honorable and respectful to your boss or your employer. If you're working with customers, right? If you're in customer service or your sales, you're very respectful. You look at people in the eye. You smile. You're friendly. You're a pleasant person. If you're on the phone, you have hi, welcome. What can I do for you? Oh, yes, thank you. Have a good day. Oh, it's my pleasure. And you speak with a kind of a joy and a pleasantness rather than how a lot of people operate. You get on the phone and you're thinking, what did I do? They answer the phone and you're thinking, do you ever feel like this? Maybe it's like a person that you're talking to face-to-face or you're on the phone with them and you kind of feel like, you kind of want to apologize, like, I'm so sorry for bothering you right now. I'm so sorry, even though it's your job. I'm so sorry, but can I, Can you do this for me, right? Even though it's their job. And you feel like you're imposing on this person, that's working. You get what I'm saying, right? You ever go, like you go to a shopping center, right? You walk up to the, and you're like, hey, how you doing? They don't look at you in the eye. They're not even happy. And of course, you can, listen, I'm not judgmental. I'm thinking they must be having a bad day. But there's some people that they're not filled with hope. They don't know that we're supposed to work under the Lord. And so they don't carry themselves with that. But not us, amen? Not us, because we know we serve God. We know that our true employer is the Lord. Listen to this. In Ephesians, it says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, that we're supposed to work with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. This is a verse talking to people who are under the leadership of somebody else, who are employees. They have a boss, okay? And you can leave that job if it's not a good boss. You can go find another job, a better job. But when you're there, it says you work unto the Lord, not unto men. See, it's interesting. Imagine this. Imagine that you go to a staffing agency, okay, a staffing agency, and they hire you. And a staffing agency, they hire you out to another job, don't they? Right? So now you're working for this other business, but really you're not because you're employed by the staffing agency. You get what I'm saying? So you're working over here, but you're really employed over here. Well, it's like that with the Lord. See, I might be working on earth for this company, but really, who am I employed by? Who pays my bills? Who is my source? Who is my God? Who is my Lord? It's Jesus, amen? Amen? See, so I might be working on earth in this company, but my source is from the Lord. He's my staffing agency. So what happens is, however I treat people here on earth, it reflects the one who hired me. However I work here on earth in this company reflects the one who hired me. And I want the raise from him. I want the promotion from him. See, the Bible says that promotion does not come from men. Listen to this. This is a spiritual secret. You got to catch this. Psalm 75, verse 6, for exaltation, or in the King James Version, promotion, being lifted up. I mean, think about it. We still use the word raise. Promotion means to be lifted up. Exaltation, for exaltation or promotion or a raise, comes neither from the east nor the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts one down and he raises another up. Amen. God is the judge. He's the decider. He's the one who decides who's going to get promoted, who's not going to get promoted, who's going to get the raise, who's going to get that job position or the sale or whatever it is that your particular job business is. The Lord is going to do it. And what is he looking at? Your heart. He's looking at your attitude. He's looking at how you treat people. Oh, you mean just when everybody's around? No. He sees the way you talk about your boss when you're not at work. He sees how you talk about people after you hung up the phone, when they left the store and you talked about them behind their back. God sees it. And the Bible says, let loyalty and kindness be around your neck, etched into your heart. That doesn't mean when it's convenient, just so that you can get the sale, just so you can trick people and flatter them and make them think you're a nice person. No, we're not talking about gimmicks here. We're not talking about little self-help tips. We're talking about God's word, that when we are faithful, consistent, disciplined people who really care about others and love and honor and respect and show kindness, it's going to open up the heart of God to us. He's going to be like, I like that guy. I like that girl. I can trust that person with more. And he's going to release his blessing. And also people begin to look at you in a different way. If you go to work and you work hard and you make yourself valuable, they want to keep you. Right. Listen to this in Proverbs 27, 18. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. So he who waits on his master will be honored. Master, boss. Whoever sows seed and takes care of the tree and cultivates it and prunes it and waters it and nurtures it, That's the person that's going to eat from the fruit. The parallel is, if you'll honor that boss, if you'll show respect, if you'll serve them as unto the Lord, it says that you will be honored. You'll be lifted up. See, I've been an employee and I've been an employer. I've been a follower and I've been a leader, sometimes at the same time. And I know as an employer, as a leader, the person who shows up ready to give their all, gives 110%, like you're paying them for 40 hours, but you know you're getting like 60 out of them. You know? Like, listen, when I work double time. That means that you pay me 40, man, you're getting two employees out of me. You get what I'm saying? I've been that way. My dad raised me that way. The Lord taught me this. You're going to get two employees. I'm a good deal. And when you're a good deal, when you add value to the company, people want to keep you. They want to give you a raise. They want to lift you up. And not only that, of course, the favor from the Lord. Right. I've been an employer, and when people come in and they're ready and they're proactive and they anticipate the problems, they anticipate what I want them to do. They know I already said do this, this, and this, and they get it done. Oh, that's a good person, right? If I need to, hey, can you do this? And there's no complaining. There's no rolling the eyes. A sound does not come out of them. But they're like, oh, yes. Yes, sir. Let's get it done. They're excited. They're joyful. And I'm not just talking about business where we're making money. I'm talking about church work, too. I'm talking about the most important business, the work of the Lord. And there's people in the church that is like, man, you'd think I was trying to, like, hurt them. Instead of saying, hey, would you want to help us and do ministry with us? Okay. You know, but there's other people that they're going to dive right in and they're going to do the work of the Lord. That kind of person brings joy to a leader. Amen. That kind of person makes the leader, takes pressure off the leader. That kind of person, man, you could go to war with somebody like that. See, the way I talk to an employer is there anything else you need? Hey, David, yes, sir. What do you need? Thank you, David. It's my pleasure. Hey, I need to get going here in a little bit, but is there anything you need before I leave? I'm the kind of person, I already know what you want. If I'm sitting with my boss, if ever I've had a boss, and a boss says, you know, it'd be really nice if we, right, a boss will do that. It'd be really nice if we, now they don't always intend to imply you should do something, but if a boss says that, it'd be really nice if somebody would. Guess what I'm doing? It's already on the pad of paper. It's already written down, and it's going to happen. Proactive, going at it, taking care of business, and what happens is the boss says, really? Thank you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? When you're the kind of person that honors and takes care of the needs around you, and you're doing those things, it opens up honor and favor. That's what it looks like to do work unto the Lord. That's what it looks like to do work unto the Lord. If Jesus is your boss, work unto the Lord. Now listen, I want to throw something out there. You're working unto the Lord, but that doesn't mean that how do I say this? You're working unto the Lord, but that surely does not mean that your boss is the Lord. You get what I'm saying? I mean, your boss is probably all messed up. See, some of you might be working for businesses or working for people, and they're not living the way that they're supposed to live. Maybe they don't have the integrity or the kindness back to you. Now, like I said, if you need to move to a different job or something, go right ahead. Ask the Lord, move to a different job. If there's not an upward mobility, if there's not an opportunity for promotion or a raise, go to another one. Take that work under the Lord attitude and go to a business that's going to see your value. So I'm not saying that just because you bring value that everybody's going to see it, okay? But there should be no reason that if you have a good leadership, a good business, and it's a business maybe that has upward mobility, there's no reason a Christian should not get a raise, a promotion, or even rise into leadership. Not everyone's necessarily called to be leaders, but there should be no reason why believers who are working under the Lord should not be the ones to rise up to the top. And like I said, if the business is kind of holding you down, you might move off to the side. But listen, I want you to understand something, that part of your calling is your work. That you're working, at this job, many of you, and you're a light in that place. And you're making this money and you're providing for your family and you're giving to the ministry of the Lord, your job is a part of the ministry of God. And you need to be confident that if you're working unto the Lord and he's your boss, that not only is he going to give you favor, he's going to bless you. You don't have to feel like it's selfish. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you remember Peter? Peter wasn't even a disciple yet. And he's fishing and he can't even catch anything. He spends all night trying to fish and he can't catch anything. And Jesus preaches the gospel, uses his boat, preaches the gospel, and then he says to Peter, hey, Peter, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. He's a fisherman. And Jesus says, I want you to take your boat, and I want you to take your nets, and I want you to go out into the deep of the lake. And Peter's thinking, man, it's daytime. The fish are hiding. I've tried all night. It's not going to work, Jesus. And Jesus says, no, just trust me. And they go out into the boat, into the deep, and they let down the nets, and they catch so many fish, the nets were breaking, the boats were sinking. Do you get what I'm saying? Jesus is for you. He's for you at work. He's for your business. If he did it for Peter, he wants to do it for you. Remember Isaac? Isaac was the son of Abraham. He's a child of the covenant with God. Just like you and I are children of God. We have a covenant with God. And remember, Isaac was in a famine. That's a drought. That's a recession. There is nothing going on. The ground is dry. The ground is hard. There is no water. And yet, God led Isaac to put seed in the ground, even in a famine. The Bible says he reaped 100-fold that year. That year. 100-fold. And the Bible goes on to say that everybody became envious of him. Envious. That's what the Lord wants to do for you. If the Lord wanted to do it for Isaac in his business, and he wanted to do it for Peter in his business, that's what the Lord wants to do for you. That if you'll show up and work unto the Lord, the favor of God will open up for you, and the blessing of God will flow to you. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Amen. But what happens if you have somebody like Laban? Do you remember Laban? Man, that guy was a jerk. Remember Laban? Laban was Jacob's father-in-law. And Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times. So here's what it was. Basically, Jacob worked on commission. He was a shepherd. But basically, he worked on commission. Okay, that means like you basically only make based upon what you produce, okay? Like a sales or whatever. So he was a sheep salesman. No, I'm joking. He wasn't a sheep salesman, but he was breeding sheep and such. And so Jacob would get the sheep. Anytime Jacob started to advance and increase, Laban changed the deal. That's like you, that's like you're, if you were in sales and your boss says, okay, you make money. I mean, you make the sales, you get this amount of commission. And then all of a sudden you start advancing and your boss changes the contract on you. Makes it harder for you to make the sale. Makes it harder for you to seal the deal. Makes the commission less. And you know what God did for Laban? I mean, what God did for Jacob? Anytime Laban changed the deal, God would change it. And God just kept blessing Jacob, and Jacob kept increasing, so much that Laban became impoverished, and Jacob became blessed. Why? Because in our covenant, in Genesis chapter 12, it says that God will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Even if you have somebody standing in your way, pushing back at you, the Lord's going to give you victory. No man can stand against you, but you need to work unto the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? You need to work unto the Lord. And like I said, if somebody's pushing against you, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, you're going to promote me here? You want me to move on to something else? Okay? All right, number six. That was number five. Number six, budget. Everybody say budget. Budget. Don't worry, that's not a cuss word. I know some of you think it's a cuss word, but it's not a cuss word. Budget. Listen to this in Proverbs 21, verse 5. One of my favorite. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. Did you hear that? The plans of the diligent lead to plenty, abundance, surplus. We're told right here, this is a key to unlocking abundance if you'll be a diligent person who plans. But a hasty person, it leads to poverty. It leads to lack. What does that mean? A person who just lives on the fly, doesn't have a plan, doesn't know where they're going, doesn't have a plan with their money, with their time. See, if you don't have, let me back up. A plan for your time is called a schedule. A plan for your money is called a budget. If you don't have a schedule, you'll waste time. If you don't have a budget, you'll waste money. This verse is telling us the plans of the diligent lead to plenty. That means that diligent people don't just work harder, they work smarter. Diligent people, they work hard, they're faithful, they show up, they get the job done, but they also have a plan. A budget helps you to know what you can say no to and what you can say yes to. A budget helps you to have a plan to achieve your goals. But see, notice what a foolish person does. A person who is hasty. A person just living on the fly, making impulse buys. They don't even know if they have the money in the bank or not. They're just going to spend it. I remember one guy told me before he got out of debt and living in the blessing of God, he said, man, I just look on the, I go to the ATM, see how much money's in there, and then I just go spend it. No plan. Just go spend it. Make the money, spend the money. There's no plan. There's no getting ahead. The only way to move from debt to surplus is to have a plan and to know where this money's going to go. Think of your money, think of every dollar that you make as a tool to make more money. See, the problem is we've been taught in our society, work, make money, go in debt. And nobody in education and in our society and such, nobody's teaching financial education. And I only got a few minutes here. I could talk like 6 hours on this stuff, right? There's people, nobody's teaching people to have a plan for their money. Money is a tool. It's not good or evil. The love of money is evil. But money's just a tool. And money's a tool to leverage to make more money. Not so you can be enslaved in debt and such. Money is a tool to get some things done. So think of every dollar that you have, think of it like your employee. Think of it like a soldier in your wallet or in your bank account. And you're going to line them up and tell them where to go. See, when you have a budget, you have a name for every dollar. You basically are telling that money where to go. You say, all right, Benjamins. Right? I want all the Benjamins lining up. All right, you guys, you're going for the rent or the mortgage. All right, you over here, you're paying for the car payment. Okay, you're for the gas. You're for the grocery budget. And what you do is you treat your money like it's working for you instead of you working for the money, which is what so many people do. Work, 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 and it's like, where'd it go? If you don't have a plan for your money, there's going to be waste, and it says here it leads to lack, it leads to poverty. The diligent plan. One of the easiest ways to do this is what I do. I pull up a document on my computer. I use Excel. It's a program on my computer. But you don't need to do that. There are so many things out there. You can use paper and a pencil. I happen to use the Excel document. There's also apps out there called, like there's a free one called Mint. You can go to mint.com. You can do it on the computer or on an app on your phone. And it'll help you to budget as well as to track your spending. There's so many ways to do it. Some people use really complicated software. I just use a piece of paper. I just happen to do it on the computer because it can add it up for you in the Excel. So here's what I do. Here's real simple budget. Income on one side and expense on the other. That's it. Total up all your income and then total up all your expenses. But you got to be real with your expenses. You know what I'm saying? You got to really add up the expenses and add up the car payment and the gas and the groceries. But you got to also be thinking about the fact that, hey, you know, every year you got to pay registration and taxes on that car. Or every year you got to get some tires on that car. Or you got to pay your, every few months you got to get oil in the car. You got to do that. So what happens is I'll take the money that I got to put into the car over time. I'll divide it by 12 and I'll put it in my budget. You know, because a lot of times you'll say, I had a budget, and then all of a sudden you need new tires. You're saying, man, I need new tires. I don't have the money. You say, it's because you didn't plan for it. And believe me, I've been there. I thought I would always budget and stuff. I always budget when I was younger, And then all of a sudden I'd be like, oh, shoot, we got to pay car registration. I forgot about that. So over time I learned you got to add that into the budget and have a realistic budget. And here's the thing with a budget. You add up the income on one side, you add up all your expenses on the other, and guess what? If your expenses are higher than your income, you have to do something. You have two choices. If your income is higher than your, if your expenses are higher than your income, you have two choices. Number one, get more income. Everybody say amen to that. Or number two, lower your expenses. And let me tell you what you likely have to do, both. You add up all your expenses, and the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to cut those expenses and to make some sacrifices to get your budget in order and to really plan it out and know where this money's going to go. But sometimes when you do the budget and you realize that your expenses are higher than your income and you say, oh, that's been the problem. Sometimes that's when the reality hits and you realize, hey, I need some more. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes, though, we got to cut and not just ask for more. But that's where you can bring that before the Lord. That's where you can bring that before your employer. And if you've been working unto the Lord, you can ask and say, Lord, I'm asking for favor. And I'm asking that when I come to my employer and ask them for a raise, I pray you'd give me favor and they'd give me a raise. So income versus expense. This is what I do, and this is what I've done for so many years. And listen, this is the only, it's really very simple, because I spend less than I make, I'm able to get ahead. It's really that simple, isn't it? The key to this is you have to spend less than you make. Not just live in your means, live below your means. This is the only reason why Michelle and I, when we were younger, newly married, working, you know, low-wage jobs, serving the Lord, while we were able to buy a house. Because we didn't have the debt, and we didn't spend a bunch of money. We didn't have the bill. We didn't have the cable. We didn't have this, that, and the other thing. We didn't have the new car. We didn't have all the car payment. We had the old car, you know. And we lived very, 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 very simple. And where other people, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, where other people, they're buying the furniture and they're doing this and they're doing that and they're buying all the stuff to make them look good on the outside, Michelle and I, we had the hand-me-down couch and the no TV and the free stuff that we picked up at the garage sale and the family that bought us the bed for our honeymoon, you know, I mean, that kind of thing, right? And we got free, free, free. I didn't buy any, I got a free fridge and I got a free washer and dryer and I got free, free, free. I didn't buy much for a long time. I still get a lot of free stuff. But it's one of the ways the Lord blesses me. But I get all this stuff free. Had this, like, ugly couch, you know. Got all this stuff free. And guess what we did? Keep our expenses low, 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 low. Guess what happened? We could save, 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 and we can get into a house. Not only that, is because I had budgeted, I knew exactly how much I could afford for a house. Back in those days, they still try to do this. Back in the days, this is before 2008. Man, those people trying to scalp you. Man, I had people telling me, you could afford this much. You qualify for all this loan. Man, those people crazy. If I listened to the lender, who's just trying to make money, if I listened to the lender, I would have gotten myself into a mess. The reason why I knew that I could only afford this size house, this size of a mortgage, is because I had budgeted. I knew what we could do. And that's what we did. And so we got into something that we could handle. We were in control. We were the ones leading. Now, I mean, praise the Lord for realtors and lenders and such, but come on, they're trying to make a buck too. So we need the counsel. We need godly counsel around us. But sometimes you got to talk to your brothers and sisters in Christ and not just go to the realtor or the lender, because they are trying to sell you a product. You go to them later and get advice from them later. Do you see what I'm saying? So these are things that we've got to consider. We've got to work unto the Lord. We've got to begin to plan our money so that we live below our means. I had other principles that I just kind of weaved in there, but let me just give them to you real quick. Live simple. Let me give you a verse. I'm going to wrap up here, but listen to this. Proverbs 13:7. There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing. And one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. There are people that look rich on the outside, and they got the car, and they got the house, and they're in debt. That is the big trick of our society. And that is the trap, trying to tell people, you need this and you need that, and that's what's going to make you cool and famous and all this stuff. But there's one who lives poor but is really rich. That's what I was doing. In fact, I was doing some research, and most millionaires, self-made millionaires, not the just the rich and famous celebrities. I'm just talking about the self-made millionaires. You want to know how they dress? You want to know what they drive? A lot of times, simple cars, simple clothes. You ever seen that Facebook guy? It's when he has the same hoodie all the time. A lot of times, it's because they take their money and they reinvest it. I'm not trying to say we're going to be millionaires. What I'm saying is they think a certain way. They're not thinking celebrity and live in the flesh and be rich. The Bible basically says that if you love pleasure, you will be poor. We have to be people who walk in the Spirit, do the work of the Lord, and use our money for the things that God wants us to use it for, to serve other people, to leave an inheritance to our kids and such. Amen? Amen. So take that money and begin to leverage it. You live below your means, now you can pay off your debts. You live below your means, now you can save. You live below your means, now you can get some capital and start a business or get a home and begin to invest in your future. Not only that, is as you're doing this, as you're working under the Lord, putting Him first, you're having a plan, the Lord's going to bless you. See, because these verses that I've showed you today, they're not just general principles of wisdom. They are the promises of God. And God promises in His word, if you'll do this, I'll pour out blessing. Watch Him do it. And I do want to say this because I know some people struggle with this. As you start budgeting and planning, don't give up. Don't give up. Psalm 37, God says this. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Trust in the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. I've talked to so many people. They say, man, I'm trying to save. I'm trying to give to the Lord. And I've seen blessing, but they said, man, I feel like I get ahead and then I get behind. I'm saving, I'm trying to get emergency savings, and all of a sudden I had an emergency. And I said, well, praise the Lord, you were saving. And I've been there, and sometimes I'm still there. I say I go two steps forward and one step back, but you know what? Over time, the Lord begins to increase you more and more, and you get ahead. You get ahead. And that's where this comes in. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep delighting in Him. Seeking first His kingdom. Keep working unto the Lord. Keep pressing into these things. Stick with the budget. Stick with the plan. And I'll tell you, that debt will get whittled down. Whittled down. The savings will build up. And the Lord will pour out His blessing and give you a breakthrough. Let's stand. Let me pray for you.